Hey guys, this is Andy Sullins. I play at Virginia Tech. I'm a sophomore here, and this is the No Playbook Podcast.
Hey, thanks for checking out the show. It's the podcast where I speak with the outstanding athletes and coaches from East Tennessee. That's on all levels, from pro, college, and some high school athletes. Joining me today is a fantastic soccer player from Athens, Tennessee, Andy Sullins. He's a sophomore currently at Virginia Tech. He played his first collegiate season at UVA, Virginia. Then he entered the transfer portal. So, of course, we talk a lot about that, what that experience was like entering the portal. Andy played his club soccer for FC Alliance here in East Tennessee, and he's going to be joining the NPSL team 865 Alliance this coming up summer in Knoxville. He's still a young guy, but he's already made quite an impact on a professional level. He tells me the story about the time he got his first goal in the USL Championship League. It really was a great chat. I enjoyed talking with him a lot. I get to Andy Sullins right after this. Sit tight.
D1 is the place for the athlete. When you join the D1 team, you don't just go to a gym. You're part of a team, a family.
Family all three, one, two, three. Family.
If you're looking for a place to get better, to improve, to strive for the goals that you have, then D1 might be the right place for you. Book your free one-on-one assessment today. Don't wait.
D1. Learn more about area facilities in Hardin Valley and Blount County at d1training.com. Ben Cash Photography turns passion into art, specializing in world-class sports photography. Ben Cash is a former college baseball player with over a decade of experience capturing the essence of athleticism from local high schools to the SEC. Ben is now taking game reservations to cover events from all over East Tennessee. You can connect with Ben on social media. That's where you can see his full portfolio. Ben Cash Photography, where every shot is a masterpiece. Book your game coverage today and let the memories live forever.
How are you?
Good. How are things?
All good. All good.
You're on spring break this week?
Oh, that was last week, actually. Yeah. I was home, had a good little time there. But yeah, I was training girls and just having a good time. But yeah, back into the swing of school now. So,
is home still Athens?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's where both my parents are still living.
Gotcha. And when you say you train some girls, just young ladies looking for opportunities in that area?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just any girls that maybe my dad's, friends, daughters, then just some connections through him that makes a good little bit of money, you know, which never hurts to have in the pockets.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess there's probably not a lot of great training opportunities around that area, just because Athens is like, is it basically right between Knoxville and Chattanooga?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I describe it to anyone who asks. I always just say in between Chattanooga and Knoxville. But there isn't a lot of people who play soccer in the area. It's very rural, very, I feel like, football oriented. You know, the best athletes are either going to be basketball or football, really. But, you know, there's the select few that stick around and play soccer, which is nice. And I love to, you know, help out and give them my advice, give them my experience, so and make a little money on it. So
absolutely, I guess I equate it with a Chattanooga connection, just because our guy that we work with from the Chattanooga Red Wolves was the head coach at Tennessee Wesleyan.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he would
drive up that way, but I guess it is pretty close to Knoxville as well.
Yes. Yeah, very doable drive, because I was playing for FC Alliance for, I think it was 5 years. And luckily it was at Watt Road, which is a little south Knoxville. So, you know, closer to Athens. It was like a 30-minute drive. Very, very doable.
So this is the story I want to hear. So how did you make it into the USL, like right out of high school? You were still school student, right?
I was, correct. So 10th grade, I had the opportunity to move down to Atlanta United, play with them, and it actually didn't work out where I was with the USL championship team until my final 3-4 months of my time at Atlanta United, and that was my senior year, my 12th grade year. I think I started training with them in March because there was actually a striker who unfortunately tore his ACL who was in front of me at the time, and then I had the opportunity to get to go play some USL soccer, which was Top tier.
Is that weird being so young and being up there with guys in their, I don't know, mid-20s?
Yeah, it was weird, but one of the nice things about Atlanta is there's a lot of academy players who are already playing with the USL team. So I had a good feeling of knowing the people on the team already. I would say I probably didn't know, like, personally about 10 to 12 people on the team. And then about the other half were academy players. So, yeah, just everybody on the academy gets that. If, you know, if they see you as the right person on to play with the USL Championship 2 team, that's how it worked. So Atlanta has the first team, which is in the MLS. And then Atlanta United has a second team, which was in the USL Championship at the time, which now they're actually in MLS Next Pro. It's very confusing. The U.S. Divisions are, they're always seeming to switch around, you know, if that makes sense, where there's new leagues all the time forming to find the best place for these academy second teams. Because the competition, whenever you're playing in USL, is, like you were saying, it's a lot of grown men who are, you know, mid-20s to even early 30s. And they're not just playing, you know, for fun. They're playing to, you know, provide for their families, provide for their kids. So it's definitely a big, big change and big commitment.
But USL Championship is still a league, or do they change the name of that?
Yes, correct. USL Championship is still a league. So the thing was, these academy teams, these second teams that the MLS teams had, they they really didn't fit in with the USL Championship, if that makes sense. Because if you looked at the tables, whenever these MLS teams had their second teams in the USL Championship, they're at the bottom of the division a lot of the time. So people started to realize, like, why are these academy teams, why do these MLS teams have these second teams in the USL Championship? And that's whenever the MLS Next Pro, which is where these professional players who are just, you know, right below the MLS team, they have the opportunity to play in their own league, if that makes sense, where it's not interfering with the USL Championship.
Yeah, I've been trying to learn a lot more about that since we've gotten, you know, there's now one Knox here, and yes, with FC Alliance stepping up into the NPSL and putting out the product of 865 Alliance, that was a lot of fun last year. And the easiest way, in all honesty, around East Tennessee to describe it to people is I'll equate it to a level of, like, this is like AAA baseball. This is like AA.
Yes, sir.
So So that's a way to help folks picture it. But you've had some other big changes, starting out at Virginia and then transferring to a rival, Virginia Tech. What brought that on?
Yeah, so I really enjoy my time at Virginia. I'm just going to say that first of all before I just talk about what went wrong in that situation there. But basically, in the spring, last spring, everything was good at UVA whenever I was still there. I wasn't playing as much as I would like to. And it went to the point where I really wasn't touching the field. We have 5 to 6 spring games every year. And whenever that happened, I, of course, wanted to figure out what I could do to fix my situation. And the coaches, just the head coach, George Gonovich, him and I spoke, and he basically just told me I wasn't the build that he was looking for as a striker. I'm a striker in his position and what he was looking for. He was basically telling me I wasn't quick enough and fast enough, which it was very hard to take at the time. But looking back, I'm very happy he was, you know, very honest with me and respectful, because, you know, in all honesty, I could have been there and it couldn't have worked out again this sophomore year where I wasn't playing, and I could have been in a lot worse situation than I definitely am in now. That happened. And once I knew I entered the portal, I started talking to my close connections, such as, like, Atlanta United's academy director, who I'm still on good terms with, just spoke with him about the whole situation and what he thought. And he basically told me that you can either stay and maybe things can change, or definitely look into the transfer portal, which I would do. And once I heard that, I was like, green lights. I was like, okay, if that's what I should do, that's what I should do. And a teammate of mine at UVA, his name's Isaiah Bird, he knew he was going to be transferring that whole spring semester last year, but he wasn't on the team. He had already been in the portal and he was transferring to Virginia Tech. So once I was let everyone know on the team that I was really going to enter the portal, which the portal opens May 1st. Isaiah was all over me, like, man, you should really check out this school. You know, it's ACC and all this, you know, like, it's Virginia Tech, of course, it's the rivals. But, you know, I don't, the rivalry I get with some people, like, I don't think it made anybody upset that I transferred or anything. But maybe if I was in the state of Virginia and I was, both my parents went to UVA, I would feel this, you know, like, kind of betrayal to UVA. But at the end of the day, ACC is the best level competition in college soccer. And that was my main primary decision, was to, my goal was to try to stay in ACC, because I feel like if I can't prove myself in ACC soccer, then I won't be able to pursue professional soccer, which is my overall goal. Like, if I can't do ACC soccer, I can't do pro, which, yeah, I want to put myself in the environment to be in the best situation where I'm improving every day. And staying in ACC was definitely, you know, what I wanted to do.
Absolutely. So I was just thinking of something else. If you're able to play as a, in any level of USL,
yes,
obviously that's a, you know, it's not USL 2. So they're paying these players on the team, but has that always been allowed, or is it just since NIL was a thing that college players can also double as a USL player?
Yeah. So actually, that's a really good question. The only way that I was able to play with the USL championship was I signed an amateur contract, and that's different from a professional contract, obviously, because amateurs aren't paid. And that keeps that clear, where there's that line in between being a professional and then being paid as a professional, because if you're paid as a professional, right there, you're cut off from college soccer. No more college soccer for you. You cannot be a paid professional, but you can play in the professional environment just on an amateur contract.
Ah, so I guess that doesn't count as NIL.
Yes, correct. Correct. Yeah, NIL is on its own world over there, you know, where it's its own world.
Yeah. You know what? Because I'm very involved in the NIL world, and I guess it's because there's a lot of NIL rules against, like, I can't say if you score 3 goals in this game, I'll give you a bonus or something. Right. So there can't be like pay for performance. So obviously that's, I'm getting there. I'm putting it together.
I'm getting there with you as well. Don't worry. I'm still, the NIL world is new to everyone, in my opinion, still. Still something that's growing.
Soccer opportunities?
We do. Yeah, we do. I've been talked to about a couple NIL, like real estate, basically maybe an opportunity to get my real estate license, local businesses reaching out, you know, just to promote food. So, for example, like a couple of my teammates here, there's a restaurant, a local restaurant, Benny's. All you have to do is just take a picture of with a piece of a slice of pizza and promote it, and, you know, maybe get a little money in your pocket from that. So,
you know, I'm trying to think if I've, so in college, one of my roommates had some friends that went to Virginia Tech and other friends that went to Radford.
Okay. Yes.
And it almost felt like that was a bigger rivalry, those two schools. But I, yes, remember getting some good pizza in Blacksburg for sure.
Oh yeah. 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 If you need some pizza, hey, Blacksburg's your spot. And actually a lot of other good restaurants, but Benny's in particular is one of those favorite little restaurant spots for sure.
How would you say playing for a club like FC Alliance set you apart and gave you more opportunities?
Man, FC Alliance was, so before I was playing with FC Alliance, I was playing for Cleveland Flames, obviously in Cleveland. It was a good program, but whenever I tried out for FC Alliance, myself and my parents, we both realized that there's just a different level at FC Alliance compared to these other local, you know, Southeast Tennessee clubs. You know, the coaching staff, everybody was great. I mean, I'm thinking about all my coaches I had. I think I had 3 different coaches, and every one of them taught me something that I feel like still sticks with me today on the field, such as like painting the picture on whenever a cross is coming in, like staying outside of the 18-yard box until the ball is about to get whipped in, just little things like that, that really stuck with me. And I feel like definitely developed me as a person and my character and on the field as well. FC Alliance definitely helped me a lot. It was either there, I was trying out with FC Alliance whenever I was, had decided I wanted to leave Cleveland Flames. It was either FC Alliance or Chattanooga FC. And it wasn't just the coaching staff. It was also the people that really separated them from Chattanooga. Because like we were saying earlier, I'm in Athens. I'm right in between. I could have picked either one at the time. But the people at FC Lions, they were, I remember very well, a good buddy of mine named Joshua Holas. He was the first guy to talk to me. And he was like, hey, man, what's your name? And just very positive. And that stuck with me in my heart and definitely influenced my decision of going to FC Lions at the time.
I hear that a lot in stories of college recruiting too, that just initial connection with either a coach or just somebody on the staff can really make somebody feel comfortable and like they're at home. Was it like that for you? I guess even just your initial decision to commit to UVA?
Yeah, it actually was. It was. The whole process was with UVA was actually pretty quick. So we had a, whenever I was with Atlanta, this was, I don't know which year it was. I should off the top of my head, but it was October 31st because we had a Halloween game against Charlotte FC, and we actually got to play in the Bank of America Stadium, which was an amazing experience. And from that game alone, I know for sure that all my teammates and a couple of guys that I know from Charlotte, a lot of recruits were recruiting from that game alone, college coaches. And that's where UVA reached out to me about that. And yeah, it was pretty quick because that was during COVID and everything. So I actually didn't get to tour the campus or talk to the coaches in person. It was all on Zoom. And it was very, very, very welcoming from them at the time, for sure. They saw great things in me. They had a lot of faith in me. They had a lot of trust in me. And yeah, it always helps to, if you can get a full ride, whenever they offered me that, that was definitely helped me make my decision a little quicker at the time.
I'm a big Carolina Panthers fan, so I love being in that stadium.
Then that means you like Cam Newton a little bit, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Both of my parents graduated from Auburn. So whenever Cam was there, it was a great time.
Oh my gosh. Unstoppable.
Yeah.
In college favorites. And one season in the NFL.
One.
Yeah. It was a nice season, but
should have won it. Yeah.
So I was going to ask about 865 Alliance. Are you going to be a part of that team this summer?
I sure am. Yes.
So I'm the PA announcer.
Yeah, awesome.
So last season I was the guy up there getting a little carried away.
Yeah, I wish I had scored some more goals for you to get a little more carried away about, but I can always bounce back this year.
Mostly because they got that button right there and you flip it and it makes all the lights blink. That's just my favorite part.
Definitely. 100%.
This summer.
That's funny because Virginia Tech's lights do the exact same thing actually here at our home games whenever we score. It's really, really cool.
That's always fun. Do you have a goal celebration that you always go to?
Oh, man, I'm not going to lie. It's one of those things that I feel like it's in the moment. Whatever I feel like in the moment after I score, I usually do. And, you know, recently whenever I've scored, it's been I actually had a goal against Louisville, number 5 at the time last year, last season with Virginia Tech. And it was an away goal as well. Me personally, I like away goals a lot more. I don't know. Something about just hearing all the home fans just being very quiet is – it's just something great to hear, which is surprising to hear. You know, it's dead quiet, but you know, everybody's upset that I've scored in the moment. But yeah, in that moment, I usually just jump up as high as I can and a fist pump usually. Or if I'm feeling something crazy in the moment, I might hit a little dance or something. Yeah. I don't know. But
the knee slide, you know, that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, the knee slide I haven't mastered, I'm not gonna lie. I used to do it all the time whenever I was younger, but I don't know. I had a bad experience whenever I tried to slide, my knees got stuck in the ground and did not feel too good. So ever since then, I haven't been a big knee slider. Maybe whenever the fields are, you know, completely soaked, because that's what they do in the professional environment for the game. They'll go around the field with hoses and just completely soak it. And I was actually in England last winter, and I noticed that the sprinkler guys, they wet the corners more, knowing that if people score, they'll, you know, do a knee slide maybe. So they're prepared for that.
Wow. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You need a good little, you know, slippery surface to really get a good knee slide in there. You don't want to embarrass yourself.
Is it something that you would avoid on like a turf field?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen videos where people slide on the turf, like on Instagram or something. And everyone in the comments are always like, he is a warrior for sliding on that turf, or like obviously turf burn exists. I don't know why those people don't think about that, but yeah.
Tell me one thing that very few people know about you.
So I would probably say I'm a big fisherman. That's one thing that I've been doing a lot recently, actually, that, you know, a lot of people might not just think about me automatically. What else? Oh, okay. I got one. Okay. My favorite food. My favorite food is a, actually an Italian, my mom's side of the family's Italian, and a recipe from my great, great grandmother. It's called minestra. It's just a type of soup, a soup. It's my all-time favorite food. That is my all-time favorite meal. Whenever people ask me my favorite food, I tell them minestra. It's basically a tomato soup type of bay soup, like in the broth. And then it has shredded steak in it, shredded beef, and then just some noodles. It's very simple, but I mean, I actually have some in the fridge. My mom made it a bowl for me to take back. So I'll probably have that tonight, in all honesty. Yeah, it's spelled minestra. And some of the pictures online, whenever you look it up, it will look like a thicker broth type of soup, but it's a very like runny, in honesty. I could maybe send you a picture of something after this to show you mine.
Nice. And one question everybody gets on the show. Tell me one unforgettable sports memory for you. And it could be either as a spectator or as an athlete.
Yeah. So definitely my best memory, I'll give you the whole story, was whenever I scored a professional goal in the USL Championship for Atlanta United. And it was at Memphis 901 FC. That's their team name. So yeah, I'd been training with the second team with Atlanta United for 2 months. Everything was going well. And yeah, usually the way it works is either with the team, the coach basically expresses either you're going to be most likely either starting or you're not going to be able to travel, just because that's how it is with the team. You know, they need certain players on the bench at the time. And yeah, at the time for the game and the roster came out, I was not on the roster. So I was like, okay, no problem. Because again, I'm an academy player. I'm just enjoying my experience before I had the college at UVA at the time. I was packing my bag. It was a Thursday night, because I was going to head home for the weekend back to Tennessee with my parents. And I got a call from my coach, Coach Jack Collison. And he basically was telling me that, hey, we're going to need you. One of the players, Jackson Conway, something happened with his family where he couldn't come to the game, and he was the starter at the time. I was rostered for that traveling, the away game. And funny enough, I wasn't just on the roster. I was starting that game that Saturday. So it was a quick switch on that mindset. But, you know, I remember in that tunnel before going out to the game, the Memphis 901 FC has a baseball soccer hybrid stadium, whatever you would like to call that. But yeah, going through that tunnel, I really remember I was one of the most concentrated I've ever been in my entire life. I just had this like tunnel vision. I mean, I was in a tunnel and I was very, very locked in. I had a very good first half. And luckily you never know if you're going to get subbed off at halftime as a striker, especially with the way that our team was set up. We're very intense on pressing once we lose the ball back. So the strikers and the forwards are obviously expending a lot of energy, getting tired. So I didn't know if I was going to go in the second half, and we were down 3-1 at the time, and the start of the second half went off, and immediately we had a pretty good attack. It was, you know, I literally think 30 seconds into the game, and the ball was on the left side of the 18, and our left back was just dribbling, and I was making a near post run, but they actually avoided me at the time because I was creating a little space for a guy named Darwin behind me. He was just to the right of the PK spot, about 12, 14 yards out. And I made that run. So the goal is here. I'm over here, just right by that, the goal. He takes a shot, the keeper saves it, and I'm just in the right place at the right time to have a tap in. And I remember this so well. Whenever I scored that goal, I was like, oh my gosh, I just scored. And for some reason, I wasn't excited for like 5 seconds. Like I scored, and then you can see me just jogging back. The camera goes off me for a second, and then the next second, you know, it's back on me, and I'm just like fist pumping in the air, just screaming like, you know, just in the moment, very happy.
Yeah.
Definitely my favorite sports memory so far in my lifetime.
Is a USL Championship, do they have limited subs?
I think it is three. Unless it changed with COVID. I know that across seas, they changed it to where you can actually sub five people due to COVID. But I think at the time it might have been five. Yeah. But yeah, I got subbed off in the 70th minute after that. Unfortunately, we lost the game. I think it was 4-2, 5-2, which is just an example again of how the academy teams didn't actually fit in with the USL Championship. And then they branched off to make MLS Next Pro. But yeah, I mean, it was in front of about 5,000 people. You know, my entire family was, well, they weren't there, but they were watching the game. And it was just a great feeling to, you know, check my phone and see how many people were telling me congratulations, and definitely a feeling you want to feel again.
Heck yeah. That's amazing. That's a cool story too.
It is. It really is. The fact that I wasn't supposed to be rostered. And then, like I said, it's kind of crazy to think that you can go from not being rostered to going straight into starting, but that's how it is. I feel like that's one of the things that I've learned through college even more looking back at that is just control the things that I can control, you know, if that makes sense. I feel like sometimes you can get really worried about other competition. Like, there's competition in the ACC. There's a lot of competition in every position. And one of the things I felt like was I was always looking at the other people like, oh man, he did really good here. He did really good here. But at the end of the day, I should just be focusing on what I can do better and what I can control. If I can control my actions and have a good positive attitude, it will get me a lot further than, you know, being a little pessimistic and worried about what other people's actions are doing. And yeah, I feel like that in that moment, that was a great example. And then throughout my college career, I've still been growing on that. You know, you can still get jealous about, oh, why is he playing? But like I said, control the things you can control.
This has been great. I feel like with soccer folks, I played soccer. And I feel like I can keep soccer folks on forever.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it's obviously very different. This was high school, but I was a striker and I got told the same thing. So the school where I grew up playing in North Carolina, my sophomore year of high school, I scored 16 goals and then moved to Maryville. And all of a sudden I'm riding the bench, and like, I was a about it. I was not very, very mature. And the coach told me, like, you're not fast enough for a striker, the strikers that we want. And that's a thing now, like when I work with D1 training, and that's a thing, like I tell folks all the time, I didn't have anything like D1. Nobody was helping us train for speed, agility kind of stuff. And I wish I would have had that opportunity.
100%. Yeah. I mean, it goes such a long way now. People say that you can't get faster, but that's a lie. You can 100% get faster. I've been able to see that actually this spring. Cool enough, funny enough, because we wear one of those Stat Sports, you could call it a bra. I just call it an undergarment, you know, one of those. And it has a little pod right here where it tracks a lot of things, which it's super cool. But yeah, I've gone up from like 19.8 and I've hit like 20.4, 20.5 miles per hour, which is, I mean, you can see the improvement. So say you can't get faster. It's not true.
Yeah, you can. All right. Andy Sullins, thank you so much, buddy. I really appreciate your time. Have a good one.
Hey, of course. Appreciate it. You too.
And I'll be calling your name this summer.
Yeah, of course. Yep. After a couple goals, maybe a hat trick or two.
Nice. Absolutely. All right. Do not slide on that turf, though.
Nah. Unless they wet the corners very well, which I don't know, but we'll see.
No, I doubt it. All right. See you, buddy.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Thank you so much for checking out the episode. Make sure you go follow Andy Sullins on social media and follow the show as well @NoPlaybookPod.